Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Rehm McCaffrey.
Hi, Ruth Ann. How are you?
Hi, Santia.
Hi. This is Santia. And we were having a fun discussion about dreams this morning. And we have a question that we're pondering. And the question I have is, what is it like to go on a ride with someone else? So to be on a ride with someone else with their dream.
Well, actually, this is inspired by having watched the movie Nebraska, which is one of the movies nominated for Best Picture this year for the Best Picture Academy Award. And it is a journey that is the story of one person's dream, and another one goes along for the ride. So I was thinking, how often that must happen in real life. Mm-hmm. And as you and Rob and I were talking, you had a real life example where Rob wanted a boat and you weren't so excited about the
That's
boat.
That's right.
Would you like to tell us just a little bit about that?
Well, we had an opportunity to get a sailboat that needed work, but was a beautiful sailboat. And that was a dream of Rob's. And for me, I saw a boat as a money pit, and I just didn't see the value. However, I could tell that it meant a lot to Rob. So for me, it was important to kind of see how it went. And Okay, we'll see about owning a sailboat.
Well, and that's really what I'd like to talk about, is the journey of going along in support of somebody else, even though the dream belongs to them. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, the son went along with his dad, and it was clear that the dad's dream was not based on something that had any basis in reality. It was his interpretation of something. Mm-hmm. And so even though we might see that the other person's dream is not a very realistic one, going along for the ride on that journey can yield some very interesting positive results, I think. So that's what I'd like to talk about today, is what can happen to us as we support somebody else, even though it, for all intents and purposes, it might seem like the dream is just not going to go anywhere at all.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, initially, it was like, I don't even know why we're thinking about doing this. But it also, for me, it was important to see something that I couldn't see through someone else's eyes that could see it. That was part of it for me.
Okay. Well, and I remember sometimes I'm now owner in some cows because I suppose I'm half owner of the cows, and I tell Jim I get the good half, but because that's a passion of his, and in support of him, I wanted to be a part of the journey, and I said, well, I will put my money in too if I can be a partner with you on this. And so I'm learning about that as we go. So what do we learn what happens to us when we open our eyes to something that is important to somebody else, even though in the moment for us it doesn't have any basis in our history or anything that we could claim as being a passion for? What happened to you in the long run?
Well, I think part of it was learning all of the, or just beginning to learning all the different aspects of what it would entail to sail. And I think also it was, part of it was trust that, okay, I'm going to trust that Rob knows what this means. So part of it was trust. And I think part of it was an honor, I guess, honoring a dream. So for me, it was being willing to not try to control that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So letting it go, letting some of either my thoughts go, and it was important for me not to be telling him, this is crazy, this is stupid, this is never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know that it wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm,
So part of it was understanding that even though it wasn't my dream, that didn't mean that it wasn't a good dream.
Mm-hmm. So part of it is staying open, isn't mm-hmm. it? Staying open until we get more information.
Yeah.
I'm a real believer in not making decisions on just loose interpretations or guesses about what the truth is, mm-hmm. and taking the time to get enough information so that we can make a decision that we can feel comfortable having made. So that's part of it, too, is saying, well, I'm going to stay open to mm-hmm. this experience and keep asking questions and keep being present to the experience along the way. And like you say, kind of being there, like you being there to support Rob and giving time and in some cases money and attention to moving along with a dream until you get more information about mm-hmm. it.
And I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to climb in this sailboat and I'm going to clean the teak and I'm going to oil it and I'm going to make it look as nice as I can. And mm-hmm. and then when I was doing those things, I would say, wow, this could be pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So it was, sometimes it felt like a couple steps forward and a couple steps back. And it was like almost a constant adjusting. Because I think, and part of that was because it wasn't my dream, where for Rob, it was probably much clearer if we were able to get these things done, it's going to look a lot different.
Right.
So for me, it just was a little bit more like jello for me.
Well, it's interesting that when the dream belongs to us, the passion that we have for it can carry us over those low spots. Mm-hmm. When it's somebody else's dream and we don't have that same passion, you're right, we just kind of have to hang on and hope the low spots don't mean that the bottom is completely dropping away. Mm-hmm. One of the stories that I sometimes tell clients is actually a story told to me by a Delta pilot one time. It was my client, and he said that he had on a number of journeys flown to Hawaii, and he said 95% of the time we're off course and we just have to keep doing course correcting. Mm-hmm. And so I guess when we're going along with somebody else on their journey, we just have to remember that there's going to be a lot of course correcting yes. going on.
Yes.
Sometimes if we're not driving it, we may not even know exactly why we're having to do this course correcting. So there's the trust that you were talking about.
Yeah, and I think in that, and really honoring something, it's one of those things of I don't quite see it, but I can kind of see it type of mm-hmm. Type of things. I do know when he came to a point where he was saying this just isn't going to fit with what we want to do. I was so relieved, right. And that feeling of okay, well. Now we can have a little bit of a different conversation about it as well. So, and that doesn't mean that we don't want to look at maybe a boat in the future. It's just this particular boat that we decided it's not going to be worth the time and
maybe
energy.
Not at the, yeah, the timing is not quite right.
Yeah.
So how are you different because you supported his dream at that time?
How am I different? I think that I learned a lot. I think that it was also patience. I think that was an element of this. What changed me was that it was worth being patient. It was worth listening and watching and again, honoring and not being very direct.
Do you think, because you're a musician now with him and you guys do wonderful, you know, professional work, both on stage and on CDs and DVDs and all the other Ds.
Yes.
How do you think that your openness to doing the music was impacted by the willingness to go along with that early dream?
Yeah, I think the timing was pretty close, I think, to both events were close to each other. And for me, the music part, it was knowing that trust, I guess that trust kind of transcended to the music piece. And so I relied, I think, heavily on Rob and knowing, okay, I can trust him with this. This is the right thing. And then that also then was trusting myself to be willing to kind of jump into something and mm-hmm. and try something new and different. So I think that changed. It was that trust and really working together mm-hmm. On our strengths and really relying on him mm-hmm. considerably.
Mm-hmm. So when we're in relationship with somebody and we have supported them in a dream of theirs, one of the benefits then can be is that it deepens the relationship mm-hmm. and it creates a bond there of trust and willingness to be open and vulnerable. And one of my favorites is to say yes mm-hmm. to something that's offered to us, even though we might not have thought it up or it might not have been our idea in the first place.
Yeah, and I think, and I know I've said the term respect, and I think that was part of it too, that was an honor, I guess, honoring something that I couldn't see and then being able to say, oh, okay, this actually can work. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's all kind of tangled into that relationship element. It's mm-hmm. how we interact with one another. And so it's that when there's that honor and respect and trust, I think that does have an impact in how even day-to-day life, how that interaction goes. So mm-hmm. rather than, again, I think saying yes and being open, that makes a huge difference with.
It was interesting. I was thinking about the movie Nebraska and the young son and his dad mm-hmm. and the relationship that they had that evolved over the course of this journey that they were on, where the boy really, not a boy, he's a young man, really did prove himself to be an amazingly patient person and loving and kind and but he benefited along the way too mm-hmm. in that he got some of his mojo, he got some of his courage, he demonstrated that he was more than just a beautiful baby. He had some strengths that I think he found along the way mm-hmm. And that was a cool part of the movie for me to watch.
Yeah, and maybe it's that being authentic too. Mm-hmm. That you can have differing opinions and views on things, and if you truly are caring about the other person, it just you know it does change you in a way of again having that sense of caring for that person. That I really wanted to see this dream come out and mm-hmm. and for that to become a reality. That was something I thought, yeah, I can, even though I don't see it, I would love to see that happen. Mm-hmm. So it was
a willingness, wasn't it?
And that excitement of seeing that would be pretty, you know, pretty amazing.
If we could turn this boat into something that not only floats, but looks good. Wow. Yeah, and can take us out into real water. Mm-hmm. That would be quite an achievement.
So what I did in that case was to be patient and allow time to pass. And then Rob came about it on his own mm-hmm. saying, you know, I've been thinking about it and I'm not sure if it makes sense to work on the sailboat right now. And again, I think I said earlier, I was so relieved. So for me, the way I approached it was allowing time and allowing things to settle. What is the best way to handle that? People may not always have time.
Right. I think everybody has their own best way. And of course, what time offers is the chance to get enough information mm-hmm. and have enough reactions to what's going on so that not only your head can be having the information, but the intuitive part of you can have a chance to react to what's going on as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any one overall best way. I think it's for each person what works for them. And I'm always encouraging my clients, for example, to look at what works for you. Mm-hmm. What's the way that you get information so that you really can trust it?
Yeah.
And so I'd encourage everybody to, as they're going along, not only with other person's dreams, but our own as well, to stay really attentive and present to what's happening, mm-hmm. so that even though we may be having to do course corrections, we have confidence that those can happen in a really successful way.
Yes, that's a really good point, because I didn't want to squelch the dream.
Right.
I thought that wasn't my role to be a part of saying no.
Right.
It was really, and I guess for me, it was really important to see kind of that happiness and that spark and that interest that Rob had to mm-hmm. do something. And I thought, wow, that's great.
That's part of the fun, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that is part of the journey, is seeing someone have such a, such joy with a dream,
mm-hmm.
and thinking, okay, well, even though I don't see it, I can see glimmers, but I don't see the whole thing. And that's where maybe honoring isn't the best word, but that was that, maybe honoring that joy, honoring that appreciation.
Well, and any time we get to be present when somebody else is having a lot of fun, the image that just came to my mind when you were talking is watching a little kid on a pony, or if they're not crying on the pony, but they're happy doing that, or on a swing, or having mm-hmm. a birthday party or whatever. And there's nothing that I think is more wonderful than hearing a little kid laugh. I just think that's cool. So when we're sharing mm-hmm. by being in the presence of somebody who is enjoying what they're doing, that's pretty magic too.
It is.
So if we can stay with that and support that until they achieve their dream, or we decide that we are happy that they did and we're moving on to something else, then that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You
helped me work through that.
All right. So nice to be with you, Sandra. Thanks for all your sharing today.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.